Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
It's Monday.
It's January 27th.
And the word of the day is broligarchy, which means a small group of dude bros who control a political structure. Used in a sentence, Democratic Republic, kleptocratic broligarchy, potato.
Yeah, they do mostly look like potatoes. Potato. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and the best preparation for them is julienne and fried in oil. I'm no illusions.
I'm Eli Bosnick.
I'm Heath Enright, and broadcasting delayed from America's far center, we are the Skeptocrats.
Oh, this week's episode, Donald Trump runs the country the way he ran his businesses.
With some economic advice from the hawk to a girl, that's fun.
And Elon Musk convinces him to send out poop emojis instead of tax returns.
But first, the rest of the intro music.
Joining me for headlines tonight are my fellow skeptic rats, No Illusions, and Eli Bosnick. Gentlemen, welcome to the new show. We are now the America Broligarchy Alpha America McKinley Bald Eagle Podcast.
Oh! So,
there we go. You ready for some sweet cabinet positions?
Yeah. Fuck yeah, man. I want to run the Department of Chance. That seems easy, and they need work. Their chance.
Ooh,
suck. Okay.
Well, when Joe Rogan is White House press secretary, will the meetings be longer or shorter, do we think? That's my question.
Feels like longer.
More bong hits.
Okay, upside. In our lead story tonight, we have a giant list of evil, because this is Trump 2.0, and that's how it works now. It's been a week since Trump took office, and we already have 33 executive orders on the books, including 26 orders on the very first day. Those came in the form of a literal lightning round of signing them on a terrifying fascism game show. It was ridiculous. He did a whole thing. The Price is Reich. And then it like turned into like a rock concert, and he threw the pens into the crowd like guitar picks, and people went nuts. It was so stupid.
Oh my God, so funny, because they do that, right? They actually do the pen ceremony thing, but Trump's the first to fucking throw them.
I hate everything. So we're going to need to do a lightning round of our own to keep up with it. Most of the executive orders are some combination of dumb, evil, and insane, or DEI. So we're going to try to rate the orders on that three-dimensional scale as best we can. Feel free to add commentary where needed during the lightning round, and provide nuance at your own peril. Contestants, are you ready?
Oh, sorry, not to get all Heath about this, but can I hold down my button and just yell 10 evil the whole time?
Oh, good. That, yeah, no,
absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome.
And I think that's, you got it correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way,
100 points.
And by the way, if any of these bullet points sound familiar, that's because they're Project 2025. God damn it.
Yep. Yeah. Pretty much. Should not be surprised.
Cassandra should have had a podcast.
Not a single person should be surprised. Some are. It's ridiculous.
Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Cassie. Got an axe in me.
Yeah. So, first up, we have the federal workforce category. The executive orders include a freeze on federal hiring, except for stuff that Trump likes. For example, the military and border police.
Yeah, no, Biden's unemployment numbers were too goddamn low. Glad to see him doing something about all the employment.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about time. And we also have investigate the Biden administration for weaponizing the government against his enemies. And I'm going to pair that one with another order that weaponizes the government against Trump's enemies and revokes the security clearance from 51 people who signed a letter that suggested the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop might be Russian disinformation at the time.
Yeah, no greater enemy of his than true shit.
Okay, I know I'm going to say this about a lot of these, but why is whether or not the people I don't like are protected from my fans an executive decision? And if it is, why the fuck did Trump have security for the last 4 years?
Yeah.
That kid in Pennsylvania could have gotten a second shot, maybe a third.
Yeah, I think he feel like he'd have needed five or six the way he was shooting, but yeah.
It's fucked up. He took away Secret Service detail from a bunch of people like Bolton, for example, who's been
Fauci?
Threatened.
Yes. Yeah.
By foreign adversaries. It's really fucked up. And speaking of irresponsible security clearance, we got an order granting top secret clearance to the new White House staff without any of the normal vetting.
Yeah, well, Pete Hegseth is going to stop drinking as soon as he gets to watch the government tapes of the JFK assassination, everybody. He swears.
Oh, my God. My only hope with Hegseth is that he's going to be too drunk to do all the scary shit I'm afraid he's going to do.
Yeah, there you go. Fun silver lining. And, of course, there's a rule that says no making new rules until Trump's lackeys okay the rules.
Yeah, the Joseph Smith apologetic.
Good times. All right, fellas, got a score for this section overall?
0 out of 10 would not recommend.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
I believe the correct numerical value is 8.8, but that doesn't work with your scale, so.
Yeah, wink. People got it. They got it. Good dog whistle. All right, next up, we have the immigration and border control category. Those orders include no more refugee admissions program and no more asylum seeking at the southern border. Those two were augmented by another order declaring immigration to be a national emergency, which unlocks a whole bunch of money that doesn't need congressional approval.
And allows him to call in the military. Yeah,
sure does.
Cool. Cool, cool.
We also have no more birthright citizenship. Theoretically, that dismantles a fairly important constitution thing. I think it was called the 14th Amendment.
Yeah, again, I don't think undoing amendments was under presidential power. And if it was, I am now somehow more pissed at how the Democrats have wasted their power in my lifetime.
Which amendments did you want rid of, Eli?
Two.
Okay, all right, yeah. Fair.
Okay.
One.
In terms of immigration and border control overall, you got a score?
13 out of 10 for making it into future history books.
Well, okay. Sure, sure.
That's positive.
I was going to have negative 14 on mine, but yeah.
I'd just be psyched if there are future history books about
books,
history
future
that happened.
Books, honestly, yeah.
I'm happy they might read a book. Great. Okay, next we have the anti-woke category.
Oh, damn it. Should have saved my 88 joke. Fuck.
Yeah. Damn it.
It fits for all of it. So Trump terminated all DEI programs in the entire federal government, in his head anyway. He seems to think that's effectively a ban on, like, the concept of those words, diversity, equity, and or inclusion. And part of Making America Great Again is, of course, McCarthyism. So Trump also added a directive to make everyone into a narc on everyone else with penalties for not narking fast enough. You have to report the occurrence of a diversity or an equity or if something gets included in something else. I don't know.
Guy just shows up to work on Monday morning. Hey, boss, I'm black. I don't know. I feel like I have to tell you first.
Well, okay, if we're turning in people who only got their jobs because of the color of their skin, I have a president that I'd like to narc on.
Yeah, exactly.
And all the other ones, too.
Him and Snooki.
And, of course, we also got a directive that there are only two sexes and gender identity doesn't exist.
Well, as Noah pointed out over on The Scathing Atheist, you are actually, according to the order, the sex you were at conception, so there's one gender, and it's female.
Cool. Yeah, I'm pretty fucking terrified. All right, fellas, scores for the anti-woke category.
Let me go outside the box here. 2 plus 2 equals 5 out of 10 in not understanding you're the butt of your own jokes.
There you go. Yeah, no, I'm not sure. I feel like we would need to use new math to derive this number. It would just to piss him off. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And somebody definitely did a ridiculous Orwell quote when they were justifying something in there for sure. Fucking horrible. All right. We also got 4 new orders about tariffs and trade. Just going to smash these together by saying we're starting a trade war with pretty much the entire world, including our allies. That's cool. And we're making a plan to create what Trump is calling the External Revenue Service to collect all the tariff money.
Yeah, podcast listener, just imagine the competency of the IRS, but instead they're making collection calls to, you know, Peru, the country.
Yeah, no, like the IRS, but without the enforcement method. But in his defense, there's way more revenue outside of the U.S. than in. The IRS was looking in the wrong place the whole fucking time, if you think about it.
All right, moving on to energy and the environment. Basically, we're doing the first one and no more doing the second one.
No
more
the second one, no.
Again, just smashing a bunch together for time. We're drilling everywhere with no rules. Somehow, that is also a national emergency, despite our domestic oil and gas production already being at an all-time high. Also, no rules about environment stuff in general. And we're officially withdrawn from the Paris Agreement. You know, the one about saving the world? That one.
All right, but if we destroy the world, where will the External Revenue Service get their money?
Ooh, someone should bring that up to him. Yeah.
Also, by the way, there's no more incentives for electric cars, according to Trump. So there's got to be a fight with Elon Musk about that one. We'll see how that goes. And rounding out the lightning, we have a miscellaneous category. Number one, withdraw from the World Health Organization entirely.
Tell me what to do with my milk.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Mount Denali getting a new name. It's now called Mount McKinley in Trump's head. And the Gulf of Mexico is called the Gulf of America.
That's so fucking
inches away from an executive order allowing him to use the N-word.
God damn it. The Doge, by the way, is a real department now because Trump said so.
Oh.
Yeah, it's taking over an Obama-era department about, like, getting the government doing more efficient. And Elon Musk is in charge, in fact, of governmental efficiency from now on. And just in case Trump wasn't scoring high enough on the evil metric, we got an order that says, make sure the state governments that do official murders have plenty of poison.
Okay, Heath, I know you're referring to the death penalty, but honestly, that could apply to so many of these executive orders. I just need you to be more specific for the next 4 years, buddy.
Okay, got it.
No, Eli, until you said death penalty, I thought this was like an RFK and the water thing.
Exactly, yeah. Thank you.
That's fair. Well, speaking of RFK, sort of, one more. We are going to learn about RFK Sr. and MLK and JFK. The records about them are declassified.
So weird that he didn't do
Epstein. Executive order.
Huh.
Strange. Okay, so at this point, you're probably wondering, what about the most important issue for a whole bunch of voters? What about the price of eggs? Well, don't worry. Trump also made an executive order that tells the federal government, just like all of it, to make prices better now.
Oh!
Because, yeah, that's how economics works. Exact words from this order. Actually, Eli, can you give us a Trump voice for the executive order?
I got you, baby. Got you right here. I hereby order the heads of all executive departments and agencies to deliver emergency price relief consistent with applicable law to the American people and increase the prosperity of the American worker.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm
Nonsense.
Surprised you didn't add, I'm counting to three.
Yeah, no, well, I hadn't heard about the increased prosperity bit, guys. I feel like it looks like we got a little something out of this deal after all. We were complaining about it.
You know, somebody made him put consistent with applicable law in there, and he was pissed about it, too. Cool. So that's all terrifying. But don't worry. Lots of the coverage I read was saying that many of the orders are technically illegal, so they're going to be challenged in court. So good luck with that in the courts.
Yeah.
In the meantime, band together and help protect the people being attacked however you can. We're all Spartacus for the next 4 years. That's all we got.
Exactly.
Resist.
Spartacus, the... Go ahead and pick your favorite political figure.
Yeah, just
figure.
Do any Italian name will too.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. On that note, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor, Policy Genius.
What about a tiger add-on?
Why would I need a tiger add-on?
Oh, yeah, you didn't hear. Trump released all the tigers from the zoos. They're just out
there. All right, yeah. Let's do the tiger add-on.
Tiger add-on.
Hey, guys. What you doing?
Oh, hey, Heath. Eli's helping me with my life insurance. It's really important to make sure your loved ones are taken care of when you're gone, but all this paperwork is such a hassle.
Yeah, I bet. Why don't you just try Policy Genius, though?
What's Policy Genius?
Policy Genius makes finding and buying life insurance simple. You can ensure your loved ones have a financial safety net to cover debts and routine expenses, or even invest that money to earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options are 100% online and let you avoid unnecessary medical exams.
Well, that sounds great.
It is. With Policy Genius, you can compare quotes from America's top insurers side by side for free with no hidden fees. Plus, their licensed support team helps you get what you need fast so you can get on with your life. They answer questions, handle paperwork, and advocate for you throughout the process.
All right, I'm in, guys. Where do I sign up?
Secure your family's tomorrow so you have peace of mind today. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
Ooh, what about zombies? Do you want zombie coverage?
Yeah, I think George already has a few.
Yeah, smart. Smart, smart. And we're back. Next up in headlines in Pardonpalooza news. In 1935, just 2 years after his election, Adolf Hitler infamously pardoned 23 SA officers convicted of human rights abuses in the infamous Hohenstein concentration camp, an early detention center for communists and other political prisoners. And as I'm sure Donald Trump has said privately and will almost certainly say publicly any minute now, he'll be damned if he's going to be outdone by Hitler. So he began his presidency with a slew of pardons for his political cronies, because why not get all the "are you fucking kidding me" out of the way early?
Yeah, so it's all been worst case scenario shit. And yet all the people who said we were overreacting when we warned that this shit was going to happen are now telling us wait and see. Right? This motherfucker's going to be moving the White House to the interior of an active volcano, and those assholes are going to be going, well, when you get older, you become more sensitive to the cold. I'm not sure if you're aware of
it. Come on, lava's good to have when you're making a trade deal. You slide some lava across the table.
Exactly.
Give this guy a chance.
Yeah, so let's start with the one that everyone is talking about, the pardoning of his own little beer hall push. Immediately after taking office for a second time, Trump granted clemency to every criminal defendant charged, convicted, or sentenced for participating in the January 6th United States Capitol attack, which is approximately 1,500 defendants. Trump commuted the sentences of 14 people by name, including members of the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers, who were convicted of seditious conspiracy, and gave, quote, a full, complete, and unconditional pardon to all other individuals convicted of offenses related to the events that occurred at or near the United States Capitol on January 6th of 2021, end quote. So, you know, if you got a parking ticket that day on your way to the treason, let them know, I guess.
Yeah, right, right. And interestingly, at least a couple of them have rejected the pardon and served out their sentence or kept it on their record rather than be party to his attempt to rewrite history. So it's really hard for January 6th rioters to earn a tip of my hat, but hey, that's the world we're in, I guess.
Hey, Donald, I'm being persecuted by these dirty, dirty liberals. Don't ruin this for me.
And you might be thinking to yourself, podcast listener, okay, Eli, he pardoned the guy in the horns who wandered around the Capitol building like he was looking for a keto cosplay convention. But what about the people who, you know, planned the attack with the specific purpose of overthrowing the government? What about the people who killed a fucking cop? Yes, he pardoned them too. Quote from Wikipedia here. Those pardoned included those convicted of plotting the attack, as well as those who violently attacked police on January 6th. Among the most prominent far-right leaders granted clemency by Trump were Enrique Tarrio of the Proud Boys. Trump granted him a pardon, eliminating his 22-year sentence for seditious conspiracy. And Stuart Rhodes! Trump commuted his 18-year sentence to time served. Both were immediately released from federal prison.
Yeah. Yeah, and all the police unions that endorsed Trump are losing their shit now, going, well, this is an attack on the rule of law. And we're like, really? Mm-hmm. A second Trump presidency is going to have a detrimental effect on the rule of law? Whoever could have guessed that shit?
What a surprise. Yeah, and then like 5 seconds later, those same police unions forgot what they were yelling about and started helping ICE with deportations that violate the 14th Amendment.
Yep.
Yeah. And look, those are obviously the pardons that people are talking about the most, but there are a couple others that I think are worth mentioning. You may have heard that Donald Trump pardoned Rost Ulbricht, the founder of the infamous internet black market, the Silk Road. Now, Ulbricht was serving 2 life sentences plus 40 years on what are generally agreed to be overly harsh drug charges, but unless I prove myself to be the unskibbity Ohio elder millennial, the Silk Road also sold, like, guns and explosives and a lot of child pornography.
A lot, and look, yeah.
And look, if they wanted to put Ulbricht in jail for that stuff, they should have. But I've seen people on the left, like, celebrating his release. And I just want to say we might not want to do that.
Yeah, look, the problems with the laws against weed is the against weed part. That's important.
Yeah. I am lost in a sea of nuance.
Nope, that's fair. That is fair. Yeah. But that's not all. He also, and I know this is just a little one, but I have to talk about it. He pardoned 2 cops who just straight up killed a guy and covered it up. For those of you unfamiliar, Andrew Zabavsky and Terrence Sutton are police officers who, after chasing an unarmed, unhelmeted guy on a moped, forced him into oncoming traffic where he was killed. Then they let the driver leave the scene of the accident, turned off their body cameras in an attempt to cover up the crimes, and then Trump pardoned those guys.
Yeah. No, the official position of the Trump administration is that cops don't get away with enough murder.
Cool. So, you remember the Dick Taser cage thing in Hell Comes to Frogtown?
I do, sure, yes. Do.
I feel like the body cams need an accessory in case they get turned off, similar to that thing.
And last, but certainly not least, Trump granted pardons to 23 anti-abortion protesters. Among the 23 pardoned were Lauren Handy and 9 of her co-defendants, who were involved in the October 2020 blockade of a Washington, D.C. abortion clinic and later convicted in violation of the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, a conviction we talked about over on The Scathing Atheist. But if you don't remember, these were people for whom the regular harassment of abortion clinics wasn't enough, who actually invaded a clinic itself and blocked the building. And now they're free. So, yeah, this is all really incredibly awful. Pretty hard to find a silver lining to wrap up with here. But I will say this. There is now a precedent for pardoning those who try to overthrow the government of your political opponent. So we can pretend that someday the good guys might have the balls to follow suit, huh?
What? Not how good guy works, but I understand the feeling.
I'm trying to end on a light note, okay. God!
All right.
Throw me a bone here.
And in fascism rule of threes news, I guess, my first story is about Trump firing all the people whose job it is to make sure he's not doing illegal shit. In a late-night purge on Friday night, clearly time to avoid as much of the news cycle as possible, Trump fired at least 15 independent inspectors general overseeing major federal agencies, including the Departments of Defense, State, Transportation, Labor, Health and Human Services, Interior, Energy, and Commerce, as well as the Social Security Administration and the EPA. That list, by the way, is not exhaustive, even of the ones we know about. And it's worth noting that these firings are, beside being nakedly corrupt, also illegal. The law requires 30 days notice to Congress before firing a presidentially appointed and Senate-confirmed inspector general, but I feel like you could have trouble doing anything about it with so many of the watchdogs overseeing that kind of shit out of work at the moment.
Okay, I'm going to do a government. No peeking.
Yeah. I'm very excited to watch Congress approve the No Spoilers Act of 2025.
Yeah. So the whole independent inspector general thing, that started in the 1970s in the aftermath of Watergate.
Huh.
Right? Who would have thought? Their job is to identify waste, fraud, abuse, and corruption in the federal government, which makes them a natural enemy of the Trump administration. And in a real show at just how unprepared the guardrails really are for this asshole, one of the fired inspector generals responded by saying, quote, "Whoever Trump puts in now will be viewed as a loyalist, and that undermines the entire system," end quote. Which is true, sure, but it's also hopelessly naive in the assumption that Trump is going to fill these vacancies. I think most of the people that he fired were people that he appointed in his first term.
Guys, the External Revenue Service, it's looking great. Can we do a department of, like, undersight? I'm doing great with, like, switching words around a little bit.
Now, it's worth noting that Trump didn't exactly respect the inspector general system in his first term, right? When IG Michael Atkinson alerted Congress to the whistleblower complaint that led to Trump's first impeachment, Trump fired him. He also fired the IG of the State Department when he started investigating misconduct by then Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. So we're talking about a system of checks and balances so flimsy that Trump could just fire people for investigating him. And even that was seen internally as something he had to dismantle.
It's so silly. It's just children making up rules. He's just like, yeah, whistleblowing's fucking up the flow. So no more referees. And, oh, touchdown me. Touchdown me. I want a touchdown.
It's just waddling back and forth between goal lines, declaring himself the winner while poor people in Mississippi are like, won't someone write a think piece about how you should have been nicer to me?
Yeah, right. Now, of course, like I said, there are laws protecting these guys. Recent laws enacted after Trump started firing the ones he didn't like.
In 2020, why did we create those?
Well, apparently, I don't fucking know if we're not going to goddamn use them. But yeah, in 2022, Congress passed a law that requires the White House to inform them 30 days before removing an IG and to present a, quote, substantial rationale, end quote, for doing so.
Why would Congress make that law a couple years ago?
And several of the ousted IGs are citing that law now and refusing to leave their office, at least at the time of this writing. And Republican Senator Chuck Grassley, a longtime supporter of the IG system, has at least timidly asserted the congressional prerogative on this, though he did start off by saying, quote, there may be good reasons the IGs were fired, end quote, which is a fucking ridiculous assertion when he's firing more than a dozen of them at once. So I doubt much is going to come from the iron spine of Senate Republicans.
Yeah, rooting for Chuck Grassley. That's rough. Oh, I just got a news alert. It says Chuck Grassley getting primaried by a Dogecoin? That's
yeah, right.
Look, I know I can't expect much from the next 4 years, but can we pretty please with sugar on top not do the Susan Collins, maybe the Grinch's heart will grow three sizes that day thing, right? Look, they're bad people. They're going to do the bad thing 100% of the time.
Yep.
I'm not saying there aren't things we can't do to resist this evil over the next 4 years, but just please stop telling me how many seats in the Reichstag we need to flip, okay?
And I just want to throw one last quote out from an unnamed senior executive in one of the offices that was quoted in the Washington Post, quote, this is unprecedented. It's what we were fearing. There was some noise during the transition about him doing this and some statements made during his campaign, end quote. In other words, this is exactly who he said he was going to be, and shame on the mainstream media for sane washing it for the entirety of the goddamn campaign. And speaking of needing better communication, it's time for a word from our other sponsor this week, Mint Mobile.
And then every morning, I'm going to wake up and greet the day with three gratitude affirmations.
Three, you say?
Yeah. So one for family, one for friends, and one for the world.
Uh-huh.
Hey, guys. What you doing?
Eli's just telling me about all his New Year's resolutions.
Yeah. The lemon water cleanse is going to be tough, but I'm just going to feel so much better afterwards, you know?
Eli, you don't need to make a bunch of New Year's resolutions that you're not going to keep. Why don't you just switch to Mint Mobile?
What's Mint Mobile?
Mint Mobile is dropping huge savings for the new year by offering any three-month plan for only $15 a month, even their unlimited plan.
Unlimited, you say?
That's right, unlimited. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can even bring your current phone and your number.
It's true. I switched over to Mint Mobile when they became a sponsor. I get the same great service, but save hundreds of dollars a month. That's why I, Eli Bosnick, personally endorse Mint Mobile.
All right, then. I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
Switch to Mint, and new customers can get half off an unlimited plan until February 2nd. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/skeptocrat. That's mintmobile.com/skeptocrat. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Nice, Heath. Thanks.
So, Eli, which of these resolutions are you actually going to do?
I mean, I bought some lemons.
Bought some lemons, sure.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
And we're back. Next up in headlines, in firing up the Coinbase news, Donald Trump has been a longtime skeptic of cryptocurrency, not for the good reasons. He doesn't doesn't really do those. But because anything that threatens the value of the American dollar is bad for people with billions of American dollars. But then all of a sudden, he had a change of heart right after a meeting with a bunch of crypto people who helped finance his campaign in a huge, huge way. And if you make enough real money selling fake money, it's cool if the real money gets threatened a bit. So that's how we got the launch of the dollar sign Trump meme coin on January 17th. It's backed by the full faith and credit of nothing whatsoever. And investors have already spent billions on this.
Billions. That's insane. Remember when they told us that crypto would be a hedge against government corruption?
Okay. Guys, I know you're worried, but I did use my superpower and I bought $20 of it. So it's now guaranteed to be the most spectacular financial failure in history.
Well, that was
you're
nice
welcome,
of you.
You're welcome, everybody.
That
you're
was
welcome.
Nice
yeah.
of you.
Okay, so the price of any cryptocurrency is extremely volatile, but when you're selling imaginary coins, the price can drop pretty low and still be a sweet deal for the original seller. The Trump coin started selling at $10, and they released 200 million coins with a plan to release 800 million more over the next 3 years. As of Friday the 24th, a week after the launch, the Trump coin was trading for about $33. And that's a total market capitalization of $6.6 billion. It's down a little bit since then. It's like 28 and something right now. About 80% of the supply of those coins is held by Trump's companies. So if they sold their stash right then on Friday, that would have been about $5.3 billion. Subtracting the cost of production, of course, that's about $5.3 billion.
Because of the nothing, yeah.
That theoretical amount was just conjured out of thin air in 7 days. Trump hasn't done the big sell-off, the big rug pull, but if he ever does, it's basically free money at the expense of his own supporters.
Well, but given how much respect and concern he has for the finances of his supporters.
Well, and their right. equally robust record of holding him accountable. Yeah. I mean, this guy needs to be careful.
Right.
He needs
right.
to be careful.
Not sure who I'm rooting for. It's just a whole bunch of bad guys in this whole story. So the timing of the Trump coin launch was actually pretty key. It happened at 9 p.m. in the middle of a crypto ball that was happening. So all the biggest crypto people in the world were getting drunk in D.C., and that left a bunch of MAGA-loving idiots to do most of the buying at release time without the big-name experts expressing doubt. Smart move by Trump's crypto team in the short term, I guess, but it's such an obvious grift, and it destroys the credibility for the entire crypto industry. And okay, I'm going to repeat that. It destroys the credibility of the crypto industry,
yes, right.
their credibility, an industry based on imaginary coins made of gumption and YOLO and FOMO. So right in the middle of a giant party to celebrate the incoming crypto-friendly president, that president did a huge backstab before he even took office, and all the coin bros are furious. So at least we have that. A bunch of them put out angry statements the next day, but they all had to trail off at the end being like, you can't just make up a new currency based on nothing and then sell it to an idiot.
Yeah, right, right. No, every single statement boils down to, dude, our grift won't work if it's too grifty.
Yeah. Yes. It's like Trump is doing the three-card Monty for the country on national television and a bunch of guys working truck stops and street corners are like, he's fucking up our thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Right.
Bad toss.
And 2 days after Donald's launch, Melania released her own meme coin, and it went very badly. Donald was clearly walking around on Saturday bragging about the billions of dollars in sales, and Melania was like, I want coins. And Donald's like, no, you're going to fuck it up. Don't. You're not making it. Too late. That's exactly what happened. She released a coin.
I'm not going.
Yeah. Melania's coin launched on Sunday, and all the MAGA idiots wanted the new thing, too. So a bunch of them sold off Trump coins to pay for Melania coins, and the traffic jammed up on the Solana blockchain where both coins are held because they're idiots, and the Trump coin tanked, losing about half its value that day. The Melania coin spiked up for a bit, but within a couple of days, it was trading well below the starting price. But again, it doesn't matter. It's a grifty win for them if either coin stays above zero, which they
right.
both are.
Right. See, but it's pretty telling that they sold a bunch of nothing to willing buyers and still managed to fuck it up.
Right. Is that or cryptocurrency is such an obvious con that even the Trumps can't completely lose money on it?
Yeah, right, yeah. Right.
So along with the concept of a coin, you also get a non-fungible meme your coin or whatever. For the Melania coin, it's an image of the First Lady with thank you prayer hands in front of her face. And for the Trump coin, it's an image of Trump's face very badly photoshopped onto the body of a model with much bigger hands than Trump doing a fist pump.
And a much smaller stomach.
They also feature an image of the signature of Donald and of Melania. And those signatures appear to be almost identical. I'd never seen Melania's before. It's like one of them learned about the very concept of signatures from the other and just copied.
It is, and also Melania's very clearly reads Melvin Tummy, right? That's a Y at the end. There's no way, like, the P's don't drop down like that.
Why are you mad, Donald? You said it go up, down, up, down, up, down. I go up, down, up, down, up, down. I don't even go where you go.
Mine looks like Dan Aykroyd. He's
just
funny.
So mad to me all the time.
So Trump did a press conference the day after the inauguration. And when a reporter asked if he's going to continue selling stupid bullshit like Bibles and fake money and terrible sneakers while he's in office to personally enrich himself, Trump responded, well, I don't know if it benefited, referring to the coin. I don't know much about it other than I launched it. He's lying. I heard it was very successful. I haven't checked it. Where is it today? The reporter told him he made several billion dollars already, and Trump pointed towards his Broligarch squad generally and said, that's peanuts for these guys. And somehow that was the end of the topic in the press conference. Trump was like, I got a chuckle from that. I win. Next question. No more talking about that.
Yeah. No, it's the reporter's own fault for asking, are you going to continue to be as nakedly corrupt, I guess.
Right. Or the reporter being like, sorry, guys, I fell for the spot on my shirt thing, so I can't do follow-up questions. I'm the entire legacy media, and I'm pretending to be surprised by this cake I baked.
yeah.
No idea where this cake came from. I put eggs and milk and flour in a bowl, but here's a cake.
It's magic.
I join with you, the American people, in being shocked and horrified at this cake in my oven.
Check my wallet for a cake? Holy shit! God damn it. Okay, so what's the big takeaway here? This is a giant scam. Like, it's a giant scam relative to other cryptocurrencies.
It is, yeah.
We already live in a country whose highest court decided that corporations are in fact human beings and therefore billionaires are allowed to donate unlimited dark money to buy elections. And now things have become far less responsible than that. Anonymous foreign whoever the fuck can now make absurd, invisible bribe donations to curry favor with Donald Trump. Like, that was already happening, but now there's like a secret drive-through window with a privacy blur filter going over it.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
And in Bo No You Did It news, when I was considering what stories to bring for this week's Skeptocrat, there was a part of me that wanted to talk about the Trump administration's attacks on the trans community. But there are a couple of problems with that plan. First of all, Noah already covered my feelings on that in his beautiful diatribe on this week's Scathing. Check Aww. It out if you haven't already. As well as his first story for that episode. So all the aspiring smart shit was taken. More of a characters guy. So instead, I'd like to tell you a funny story about the transphobia in our nation's capital. That's right. I'm talking about Lauren Boebert confusing a cis woman for a trans woman and trying to kick her out of the ladies' room.
Oh, my fucking God. Okay, I'm sure this wasn't funny for the cis chick, but I do love the idea that eventually two transphobic ladies are going to do that shit to each other, and they're just going to die of starvation, or they're going to explode from their refusal to pee or
Absurd.
Something.
Absurd. Political pissing contests are literal now. And satire dies again tomorrow. Great.
Yeah, so here's the story. Shortly before Trump took office, Speaker Mike Johnson renewed a ban on transgender people using single-sex bathrooms at the Capitol as a direct attack on Democratic Representative Sarah McBride. And because he wants to make that whole who would you go back in time and kill question a little bit tougher, I think.
It has to be, what room would you blow up at this point to keep it ethical, right? Just restricting you to a single person seems a little much.
Okay, we've made fun of the Orthodox Jewish fishing line eruv thing. Like everything, your room or your foyer or whatever. I'm starting to get it now. I think I'm starting to get it now. Coming up above nothing.
Well, as I said, this past Thursday, Lobotomy thought she saw McBride in the bathroom with her and yelled, "You don't belong in here!" and then ran outside to go tattle to her colleagues, who then quietly confirmed that she's a fucking idiot who had just yelled at a random white lady for no reason.
Oh, God. And this becomes even funnier to visualize when you realize that she did all of this while still having to pee, right?
Yeah, exactly. So Lolo Nanette has since issued an apology saying, quote, "I made an error regarding a mistaken identity. I apologize, learned a lesson, and it won't happen again," end quote. But
that was a
reminder,
clip. We actually did a clip.
That was a clip. Yeah, you're welcome for that. But quick reminder that the sex criminal we should be worrying about is Lauren Boebert.
Yep.
Who, I will remind you, got caught last year jerking a dude off in Beetlejuice, the musical. Or if you want something endangering children, you could maybe try her ex-husband, who showed his dick to teenagers at a bowling alley. The point is, every Republican accusation is a confession, and that time travel question really, really is getting tricky.
Well, Heath made it a lot easier, though.
Yes, true. Yeah, no, he A-roofed it. Classic Heath.
And finally tonight, in cleanup on Aisle 12 news. I know it's weird to still be harping on this with the motherfucker giving Nazi salutes at the inauguration and all.
He's autistic. He's autistic. It was autistic, accidental Nazi salute.
But
come on.
Elon Musk is a lying fuck who pretends to be good at video games even though he isn't, which is pedable on a level that I have never seen outside of a fucking chat room. Right? And I mean, I'm willing to overlook this shit if you work in the video game industry, because that happens all the time, right? The CEO who just showed up at a game studio for fresh off his stint running a fucking rug factory is like, "Well, yes, I was just gaming some games before I came in for this interview, guys." But that's not what this guy, the guy who manages to simultaneously be the world's richest man and pathetic, was doing, right? He was just straight up paying other people to play his characters in games for him and then going on Joe Rogan and going, "Look how high up on the leaderboards I am."
Hey, Elon, you're playing Wolfenstein wrong. Those are the bad guys, there, Jeremy. I don't think you're just helping. You're just, maybe you want me to take over? You pay me a little bit, I'll take over.
I don't understand. Where is the "give Hitler a shoulder massage" button?
Nope.
And look,
taking the
where's
controller.
The button?
$426 billion might be enough to buy you a president, but it's not enough to buy you gamer cred. So if you're in the video game world to the extent that I am,
sploosh.
Fuck you.
Same girl.
You've likely been aware of this weird self-aggrandizing fetish Musk has had for a while, right? He's claimed repeatedly to have been one of the best in the world at the popular 1996 first-person shooter Quake, a claim refuted by people who actually were among the world's best when that game was in its heyday. He also once shared his build for the game Elden Ring, that is the fine-tuning of equipment and character traits he chose to play with, and it was so ridiculously stupid that people who actually are good at the game use it as a challenge. Right, like how far into the game can you get using the ridiculous Elon Musk build?
God. Okay, sadly, being a stupid liar does not make it hard mode in real life. Elon Musk is great evidence, but we still have ethics in the world of video games. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a world where I don't recognize most of my fellow American citizens, it is nice that FromSoft still hates everyone equally. I take comfort in that. They don't want anyone to have fun.
So another claim that made its way to the hands of a way too credulous mainstream media was his claim on Joe Rogan's show to be among the top 20 in the world at the game Diablo 4, right? So that's the kind of claim that real gamers knew had to be false, because no matter how inherently good you are at gaming, the only way to get that high in that particular game's ranks is to play it constantly. Right, the people in the top 20 are people who stream the game for a living and shit. But Musk presented an online leaderboard for Diablo 4 that he was in the top 20 of, and a lot of media ran with it, even though it was an unofficial board that wasn't maintained by the company that makes the game. And it was only a leaderboard for how fast you could get through one particular challenge within that game. And it wasn't out of all players, but rather just out of players who had videos that were freely available online of them playing that one challenge, which was like 600 people. And he cheated.
He cheated within all that?
Yes. Yeah. He literally uses an exploit in the video game that he submitted to cheat his way even to that pathetically narrow achievement.
It's so right. Sad. And keep in mind, he's doing all this for bragging rights to the 9 goons on Twitter who would believe him if he tweeted,
"Walked on water today. Not that hard, actually. Lol."
Hey, Jamie, real quick, can we do a casual Google on Elon's... Oh, no, wait, never mind. He called no fact-checking.
Hasn't Jamie killed himself?
But somehow, his bullshit got even more bullshittier a couple of weeks ago when he made the mistake of streaming himself playing a newer game called Path of Exile 2. And this is another one of those games where to be high up on the leaderboard, or at least the leaderboard that he was high up on, you have to play the game constantly. It's not a matter of, like, how many baddies did you kill on your best run? It's a matter of how many baddies have you killed in your career. Sort of. I don't want to get too in the weeds on this shit. But essentially, people who knew the game looked at this and said, there is no fucking way a guy can run 3 companies, even as badly as he seems to be doing at that, and run a president, and find time to be in the top 5 or whatever of this game. So Elon Musk set out to prove them wrong.
Okay, I hate to be the skeptic here, but I will point out that, no illusions, you are literally the most overworked human I've ever met who isn't a miner of precious minerals, and you're on so many VR leaderboards, they might give you a job at Meta.
Okay, all right, but importantly, though, like, I'm way up on boards where, like, in games, like, 1,000 people play, right? Like, not the hundreds
That's
of thousands
fair.
Or
That's
millions
fair.
Of people that he's pretending to compete with. And so, okay, so, but the problem with Musk trying to prove people wrong, of course, is that Musk buys into his own bullshit about him being a hyper genius, which he isn't, right? He's like probably slightly above average intelligence. But to fool himself into thinking that that's exceptional hyper genius, he has to dumb everyone else down in his mind to a point that's ridiculous, to a point so fucking dumb that he thinks that they could watch him play a game he doesn't know a goddamn thing about and think he was great at it. Because he hired the fucking Indonesian kid to buff his character up for $1.13 an hour or whatever. But they didn't. Instead, they said, hey, man, you have obviously barely ever played this game before and have no fucking idea what you're doing. It is literally impossible that you're in the top 1,000 of this game, let alone the top 10. And then they made whole videos about it, and they released whole podcast episodes about it, which you can find if you look for my recent guest appearance on Thomas and Lydia Smith's show, Where There's Woke.
Okay, finally, some ethics in gaming journalism. I appreciate
right. And,
that.
And look, hey, just like that, I found the one person I think it's okay for us to swat everybody.
There you
so.
Go. Exactly. Thomas Smith. Well, after an increasingly embarrassing week where Elon Musk kept trying to cast doubt on his detractors, he eventually admitted that he was paying other people to play his accounts, but he also pretended that wasn't cheating. Even though in the terms of service of literally every online game in the fucking universe, they say, hey, that's cheating. And if you ask anybody in those games' communities what the most egregious form of cheating is, they will say paying other people to buff up your character and then acting like you're really just that good at the game. But he's retreated to everybody's doing it, which is what cheaters who get caught cheating seem to think is base. So it doesn't count, apparently.
All right, Elon. Here it is. You and me, Smash Brothers, N64, and we're playing for pink slips. My 05 Subaru versus your Tesla, the company. Let's okay. do it.
Honestly, imagining that is the most hope I have felt since November, Heath and Red.
And look, like I said, this is such a small morsel to go after in the giant buffet of malfeasance from Nazi Elon Musk. The dude is just openly Nazi-ing right at this point. So, but this
hey,
story.
I'm on the spectrum. I've never accidentally done a Heil. I don't think
not
I've
once.
Ever accidentally
no, I don't think
done two Heils. Certainly not two in a row during a mm-hmm. ceremony. Huh. Nope.
That's my new goal. Trick you into doing a Heil.
But look, this story, as small as it is, it seems to me that it hints at the weakness that the hero is going to have to exploit against Elon in Act 3. right? This fucking nincompoop is so desperate to present himself as superhuman that he's willing to engage in the most pathetic kid on the forum behavior to convince Joe Rogan that he has preternatural Diablo skills. And despite having a mega yacht that can transform into a giant mech and his own pet president, he's so desperate for the acceptance of random strangers that he's willing to humiliate himself in ways that Eli wouldn't even stoop to for an applause break.
I mean, I wish I wasn't the example there, but I do get it. You know,
I sat there like hovering over that joke going like,
no, I get it. Look, you're a master of words first and a friend second. It's a great metaphor. It's a great metaphor. What are you going to do? Heath, cut all the crying that comes after this. Okay, bud? Just silence my track. All right, man? I'll make you do it.
And on that note, we're going to close it out. Thanks to No Illusions, thanks to Eli Bosnick, and thanks to all the listeners who like us and followed us on all the various internets. Please keep doing that. Please keep listening, and please keep telling your friends. And if you find the naive stupidity of our giving away a free show business model to be oddly charming, you can send us gifts for money at patreon.com/skeptocrat. Just like David S., Paul Haddon, Aaron Harrington, Sidney Leibowitz, Brian Gillis, Terry Fonstock, Steve Carey, Winter Mute, Flickless Cage, and Sam Lloyd. And a big thanks to all our Hall of Fame donors as well. That includes April Poff, Israel Mirsky, Susanna Puljulainen, Kenny and Kyle's App Company, Sin R. Johnson, Deborah Smith, The Attractive Distractor, Alex K., Dang Griffith, Suzanne Dang August, Griffith. Alex Eckersley, Jonathan Moyet, Oro Cat, Salty Pretzel, Omni Zealous, Mitchell, Michael Rops, Catherine Koldehoff, Josh Cubes, Jennifer Gorman, Jen Moore, Henry Louis King Jr., Donna Allman, Chris Carr, Cassandra Hall, Alexander Schmaltz, Chris Demaney, and Fred R. Gruthius.
The G-Dog!
These wonderful, generous people make it possible for us to keep yelling about the stupid and the evil.
I am Gruth.
Right? So many options.
In a time when yelling about stupid and evil is exhausting, but it's also more important than ever. Also, I think a lot of us enjoy yelling about stupid and evil.
Yep.
Keep fighting the good fight. That's the point. We are all Spartacus. And whether or not you're feeling financially benevolent like those fine people, if you enjoyed a brand of whimsy and you'd like to hear more dick jokes free of charge, check out our brother and sister shows, The Scathing Atheist, God Awful Movies, D&D Minus, and Citation Needed, available in all the podcast places. We just have one last thing. Let's compliment that pianist. Special thanks to Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. He's the creator of the virtuosic musical stylings you heard today, which were used with permission. You should definitely check him out using the links we'll provide or by Googling the only band called Evil Giraffes on Mars. Until next time, catchphrase sign off. Did you see the story that they put up one of those NARC email lines for like DEI, truth at something government.gov or whatever? Mm-hmm. And people are spamming it with like scripts of the B movie and scripts of Spaceballs.
So
like,
oh, nice.
They're signing it up for porn websites and like LinkedIn's. So it gets like every LinkedIn notification and shit.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. That might not work. Like, they can figure it out or whatever, filter it out. But this did work against an ICE tip line back in the day in, like, 2018.
Yep, yep.
You know what else defeated ICE? Eli Bosnick.
You sure did, bud.
Genius.
They're not doing anything anymore.
They're done. They're done now.
There's no more ICE.
You know what else defeated ICE? 33 degrees Fahrenheit. Sorry. Sorry, just finally, all the goddamn snow is just finally melting today. So
you got an inch and a half. Relax, Grandma.
It's 2.5 inches. 2.5. It's a good size.
You don't have to lie to me. She's not here.
It was a good size.
It's cold.
It was bigger if it was so cold out.
It's in the pool.
Exercise is fun. Once you get in the habit, it's fucking great.
No, it isn't. It's just miserable fucking shit, and it's awful, and it sucks.
The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and the Thunderstorm, LLC. Copyright 2025. All rights reserved.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of happy hair. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists assign a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long-term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.